Everyone, welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts, Ben, Rob, and Seth. Have you noticed how celebrities, athletes, and politicians are speaking out against vaccine restrictions all of a sudden? And how about the media starting to set up the narrative that Trump is the one to blame for pushing forward the deadly COVID jabs? So we're going to talk about all of that tonight and get into some deep discussions. And speaking of deep discussions, come join us for a dig deep Q&A segment later on in the show on our private platform, Rise.tv. We'll get into spiritual, interesting, and philosophical topics as we answer all your personal deep questions live. Then we'll finish out the night with our top 10 weirder news segment, which we've been hearing is actually one of people's favorite part of the show. In tonight's weirder news, we'll cover worm burgers solving world hunger, ghostly encounters, Jared Kushner's immortality goals, and more. What a surprise, Jared Kushner. Because who doesn't need a laugh at the end of the long week these days, right?
Yeah, and there's something extra special with the Jared Kushner one, so you guys won't want to miss that. So come and subscribe to Rise.tv. For supporting our work by subscribing, you'll also get access to our Edge of Wonder series, Seth's Man in America shows, comedy, movies, and shows from also other content creators. Also, our live chats are full of such a fantastic community of people, so we can't wait to see you there with us. But now, let's kick this Friday Night Live off by getting into our personal highlights of the week and then talk about the dam of lies that's breaking about the vaccines.
Personal highlights. I just don't know what to choose. There's so many of them, or so few. I can't tell which.
it's like all we're really doing all week is working on our computers and doing the shows.
Yeah.
But actually, I did find something kind of funny. It's the paradox of Rick Astley. So, you know, if you go
this
on Twitter,
one sounds like it's going to be a good paradox already.
So if you go on Twitter and you ask Rick Astley for his copy of the Disney movie Up, this is where the paradox comes in, because he can never give it up and therefore he's going to let you down.
Oh, my God. So bad.
Who's Rick? That was like,
they're never
so
gonna give you
Rick Astley, the guy who sings this like the most famous 80s song ever. It's the greatest dance. He's like, never gonna,
dude, you know, it's Rick rolling
let
and,
you down.
Oh my God, it's like everywhere.
Yeah, right? I think I was born about 5 years later than you guys, and I missed somehow. Like,
no.
It's everywhere on the internet.
Your age does not require you to not know this song. Like, this is just, it's
Seth.
Look at that outfit.
Just playing.
Yeah, he's got a denim pants and a denim shirt at the same time. The guy's a rock star.
Hilarious.
Seth, have you ever heard of like Rick Rolling? You've heard of that before,
yes,
right?
Okay, yes.
So this is the guy they're referring to with Rick Rolling. Okay.
Oh,
Rick
Astley. Yeah. You know, like,
sometimes
I feel really left out when there's a certain joke or narrative, but I have to admit, I don't really feel that left out with this. So I'm okay with it.
Now, you know what, though? You should feel left out, because this is probably the greatest 80s song of all time. In there,
we'll just leave this on a loop for the whole episode.
There you go.
We could just say sayonara and just play this for the next 2 hours.
Actually, probably be more interesting than listening to us anyway, wouldn't it?
That's true. So, gentlemen, how is my connection coming through? We had some weird
actually really
issues.
Crisp now. So.
Oh, good.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, so, maybe you just need a time.
All right, good. So, I guess I'll jump into my personal highlight, and and I won't make it too long, but this morning I did an interview with the attorney, Tom Renz, which I'm going to be uploading and we'll be putting it up right after we finish this show. So it'll be on Rise TV and Rumble. And it was, man, it was honestly, I think it was the most stirring interview I've ever done. Like there was a portion of the interview towards the end where I had like tears streaming down my face in this interview. And so it's interesting because, you know, I've got a control on my computer so I can make it either like it's either half-half or the guest is full screen. And so he was up full screen and he was talking and he was really going into some serious stuff, which I'll get into later in the show, actually, because it relates to our topic. Because I was talking to him about, you know, he really believes that from the very beginning that the deep state set this entire thing up, knowing that eventually the real effect of this jab would be understood by the public. I know we're on Facebook still, so I can't say it too blatantly. And that they from the very beginning, they had planned to pin it on Trump. And so he wrote like a Substack about this. He says, look, like he's like, I've been warning people about this for almost 18 months now. Like he's seen it coming. And this guy is on the front lines of this stuff. And there's this portion during the end of the interview where he was full screen and Kate was controlling, helping. And so she was going to kind of toggling between full screen and just, you know, the two of us side by side. And so he was full screen. I was getting ready to wipe my tears and Kate put me back on with him. And I just had to sit there and she didn't really realize I was crying. And it was a soul stirring interview about like the battle of where we're at right now with humanity and the roles that we're playing and the sacrifices people are making. And anyway, that was the highlight of my week. It was almost like the highlight of my month because the one big thing that really hit me with that, it was just like, wow, like this is another person who he's on the front lines. Like for him, it's like every day is a spiritual battle, like to save humanity. Like that's what this is. Like this is the guy that is testifying before congressional hearings, the guy that is like suing, you know, these big companies. Like he's on the front lines of this battle against the deep state over all this stuff. And oh gosh, it was such a powerful interview. And it really left me with something very stirring. And actually, yeah. So Ben, you interviewed him at one of the recent Clay Clark events.
I did. Yeah. And this is actually on Rise TV. You guys can find it. And I agree. I mean, he's just such a devoted person. And the thing that makes him so unique from everyone else is that he's just this ordinary guy that literally just felt like he got this call from God that he just needs to like take a stand against this and, you know, start defending people. And he's from Ohio, if I'm not.
He's from Cincinnati.
And he's just like, look, I'm just an ordinary, like, this is what he was telling me in this interview. He's like, I'm just an ordinary dude. And, you know, I was like totally outside of this. And then he's just like, I don't know, like when God calls, you just got to do it. And he's like, I just, you know, and it was like really moving, you know, and he was really kind of sharing, because I was asking him like, what would you tell people who are like you, who think like, I can't do anything, you know? And he's just like, there's always something you can do, you know, whatever it is. And it's just like having the heart to do it basically. So.
Yeah. He's a great man. So Rob, what about you? What was your highlight this week? Did you get a new couch there? Is that
I've been thinking about it really hard, and I think my highlight of the week was listening to Seth talk about his highlight of the week.
Well, I guess that's good. It's like a ripple effect. It's like a highlight ripple effect. It's like if a highlight is so powerful, it becomes everyone else's highlights too, I guess.
Yeah. I think that was definitely I think this week was just honestly, it was such a blur. I don't know if I would call it a highlight, but one of the most eye-opening things that I came across was this document that Ben and I talked about on Tuesday, which was kind of just laying out exactly how the Chinese Communist Party operates within its offices to generate political and psychological warfare. And the document is from like 2013, but it's like so thorough, epic document, wow. Right? There's no way anyone could look through that document and come out of it being like, oh yeah, Xi Jinping is working with Putin to take down the deep state. Like there's no way. Like the amount that the type of warfare, what they've learned from in history, like actually using the culture that they have from Sun Tzu, which is the art of war, and manipulating that into a communist strategy is like terrifying, actually. And they've been doing this since the very beginning. This is why the Chinese Communist Party is still alive today, is because they were so cunning that they were able to get around it every time they were about to be destroyed. And they've been so close to being destroyed for so long. And this is what makes them, you know, one of the biggest dangers on the planet right now. And there's just a lot of people, even people who know and understand communism, who don't really understand the devious nature of the Chinese Communist Party. So that was like really eye-opening. That was probably one of the biggest like impactful things that happened to me this week, I think.
You know, I'll throw something out about that, in that, you know, there's a lot of people that they, even when it comes to Trump, and we can get into this actually, they say, oh, he's playing 5D chess and he knows the art of war, and you know, he's three steps ahead or whatever it is. You know, we have to realize that the communists, and I'm speaking about the CCP and the Soviets, you know, the communists, they're still in Russia. The KGB never disappeared, just rebranded itself as their version of the FBI, basically. But you see, look at the CCP in particular, look at the Chinese. Like, the art of war is in their blood. They've got a 5,000-year history. And look, and I've read a lot of the military speeches, a lot of their doctrines. I've read good chunks of their book, Unrestricted Warfare. They are leagues beyond like the American military in their strategy. Like, we have to think that our military is actually really advanced, and it really is. I'm not taking away from that, but like they know how to play the long game. And it's like, if you look like I've watched, I've read a lot of old Chinese literature, whether it's, you know, the Three Kingdoms, the Journey to the West, the Outlaws of the Marsh, a lot of these books, you can see like, they never thought just one generation. Like Cao Cao, for instance, he would be planning for the next six generations with his warfare. And how?
And who is Cao Cao for people listening? Because most people won't know who that is.
Cao Cao was one of the most fearsome warlords and generals of ancient China, basically. And he was so feared, but he was the most brilliant strategist. And, you know, a lot of them, they're perfecting the art of war. And so for people that say that, like, they look down, they say, oh, look, you know, the Chinese, like, you know, they steal our technology and they make stuff that breaks. Like, yes, that's true. But they've also got a 5,000-year history that they're tapping into. And we cannot underestimate that. So I'll have to go back and watch that episode. I watched some of your guys' show yesterday, when I thought it was excellent. But I'll have to go back and watch your stuff on the CCP, because, as you know, I'm always looking for more information about that.
Oh yeah, there's some good references there, and definitely some deep dives if you want to like read through an 84-page report on how ridiculous their psychological warfare is. Yeah,
seriously.
So go ahead, Ben.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let's go ahead and jump into the first big topic that we're gonna be getting into. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. Well, what I was gonna say before we jump into all that, one thing that I really want to make sure we talk about is the affidavit, the warrant that came
out. I really thought you were going to say Hunter Biden making his own crack, and I got excited. But no, we can talk about that.
So, I mean, all of this kind of plays together. I don't know when you guys, we can jump into it right now, actually, because before we get into everything else with the Trump discussion, because this kind of leads into everything. Did you guys see this affidavit? Did you look at the warrant and what happened?
No, I haven't looked at it yet. Okay.
There's really nothing to see. The whole thing.
I did see that. It's all blacked out, right?
It's all redacted. Hey, Lindsay, can we bring up the one I sent you earlier? Yeah. The redacted.
Sure, one sec.
Yeah. Actually, this might be a little bit safer of a topic for Facebook before we
jump into everything. That's kind of what I was thinking too. Yeah. Because, you know, Facebook is.
And according to Mark Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan, he was notified 6 days ago that we would go live about this, and he's probably going to do next to nothing.
Probably. Yes. So I mean, I guess I don't really. OK, so don't they have to give it to Trump? Like This is my favorite one. It's just like, why did you raid? Because Orange Man bad. That's all you need to know. It's like, It's like, in other words, it's like there was no excuse. They had to redact everything because they didn't even have probably anything in there. It's like, oh no, this is all like secret. We can't let the world know what's in this thing. We have to redact everything and cross everything out. Probably because there was nothing in it, or it was like saying that there's nothing that they could actually find any evidence to go in there and do anything with. So
this, what is the point of like, what is the point of releasing this? Like, seriously, this is a slap in the face to people who have like requested this information. It's all it is. It's like, well, we'll just redact the whole thing then.
I thought when they, like, if they raid something, they have to have the warrant in hand. I thought Trump would actually be able to see the full warrant if they're doing this. So I don't actually know if Trump, I mean, do you guys know, like, Seth, are you familiar, if did Trump see the whole thing, or is this like he was asking for it?
You know, I can't tell you, actually. I'm not sure that specific answer.
Yeah, because I was trying to like kind of figure that out. But, you know, it's like the media doesn't, they don't go into anything. It's like every time I read an article, I have like millions of questions and I have to like read like 50 articles and I still can't find.
Can you guys, is this a PDF or is this like a JPEG?
That image was a fake one.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual affidavit.
My guess is it's probably either a fully flattened, it's probably something that you can't go through with Illustrator.
I would be interested in getting the PDF to see if there's something that I can do in there.
I think it's a PDF of a scanned document.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Well, because I remember actually, like, at one point, and this is a while back, but my wife was telling me that, you know, she had downloaded Obama's birth certificate, and because she's a graphic designer, she opened it up in Illustrator, and she could actually like go in and remove the fake stuff about it because they uploaded a PDF of it. And you know, if you know design, even if you don't really, you can still do it. You can actually go into a PDF. It's a layered file and you can go remove things and you can see what they hid and what they faked.
And she saw that he was actually from Kenya and not from the United States.
It's 100% true.
Yeah. Yep. His marriage certificate, it actually said Michael Obama instead of Michelle, but then they scratched it out. So
we have to be careful on that. That's not actually true. But the other one, actually, that was all in our, well, unfortunately, because of all the censorship and we were kind of getting a little bit hammered on that one. We unfortunately had to take it down, but we had that in there and explained in detail how that all worked and why that was a big deal. And it was like 2009 or something like that. It came out and it's like, yeah, whoever did that didn't do a very good job of covering up their tracks on that. So if you knew what you're doing in Photoshop, you can just
In 2009 too, that was a different kind of stage in PDF and in the federal government. Like, they were
so true,
very sloppy in what they were doing.
Well, even if, okay, let's just say that he is born in the US, and let's just say that the fact that it had layers already proves that it was edited. So it's like that right there to me is a red flag.
It's actually true.
Not actually what was it changed on it, but just the, like, why does it have layers on
it? Why was it edited at all?
Then it's like, what did they edit? So that's the next question. So anyway, but yeah, this affidavit thing just kind of blew my, like, I seriously thought it was a joke because like everyone is sharing it, you know, on Twitter, and it's like, here it is. It was like literally two pages, and Tim Pool had it on his Twitter thing, and it actually went viral. Like, he was trending for a while. Tim Pool was trending on Twitter for a while because of like his reaction to it. And I was just like, is this real? This is actually real? Like, this is so crazy. This is, like, is this a joke? Like, you know, I mean, what the heck? Like, what are they so afraid of to show in the warrant? Like, that's my question, you know?
Like, yeah, I feel like it's all smoke and mirrors. You know, I feel like it's layers and layers of deception. And, you know, it's always out to get Trump. You know, as we're going to get into pretty soon, they're looking for anything and everything they can do to this guy. And it's like, you know, people... I got into a longer discussion with a lot of folks on Telegram over this, and they're like, you know, but how can they do this with Trump? How can they do it? It's like, well, it's like, look at the difference between how they treat Trump and everybody else. You know, they got a sniff of something that was just probably planted anyway. They're raiding Mar-a-Lago and everything. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is smashing cell phones and hard drives and deleting everything. And it's like, you know, where's the FBI
creating new content on Apple TV with her daughter? And I mean, what is she not doing right now?
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Anyway, so gentlemen, let's go ahead and play a trailer, and we're going to head off of Facebook so we can get into the real meat of this discussion, which is what's coming out with the jab, the information that's coming out with this, and the narrative that is starting to build around it being Trump's fault, which is kind of crazy. So there's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, and Fauci leaving. Coincidence. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's get into all that. Yep.
Have you ever wondered what's on Mars? Or why some ancient structures on Earth appear to be constructed with advanced technology? What's really, I mean really, on the moon? What about the moon itself? And are aliens even real? How do we, as humans, tell the truth from fiction? There are those who believe, but there are also those of us who know. We move like ghosts through the ether, quietly in, quietly out, gathering information meant to remain unknown. We are remote viewers, psychic spies. We work outside of the constraints of the physical to travel the multiverse on missions of national, planetary, and galactic importance. I'm John Vivanco, expert remote viewer and your host for the new hit series, Chronicles of the Psychic Spy, where we will explore through remote viewing the realms of information you were never supposed to know. Only on edgeofwonder.tv.
Okay, before we go into this, everybody's asking, is John Vivanco coming out with the season 3 of Chronicles of a Psychic Spy? And the answer is yes. He's working on that for everybody at home.
Oh, fantastic.
So not only is he working on a season 3 right now, but he's also working on some pretty special bonus content that's going to hit pretty hard. So get ready.
Nice.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah, so you guys can find all of that on Rise TV. And of course, Rob and I have our exclusive produced Edge of Wonder shows on Rise TV. And Seth, now you have a new show too that's being produced on Rise TV. You want to talk briefly about that?
Deep Insight. So right now we're producing, it's almost like a mini documentary that it's two parts. The first Deep Insight was about Ukraine and the gas pipelines and the corruption over there. That's already out on Rise TV. Now, though, we're like in the last week or so of finalizing the edits on two parts, one and two, all about how the cabal is using money to control the world. And we're digging into inflation and just the underlying concept of money and how they're using it against us. And so that's probably, it's probably close to like an hour and 20 minutes almost or so between the two episodes. Like they're probably 40 minutes each. So it's a big project. So it's almost like a mini documentary on how money is the root of evil when it's in the hands of evil and how they've used it with their, you know, their Babylonian money magic basically to control mankind. So, yeah.
That sounds like a crazy name for a rock band. Babylonian money magic.
Are you familiar with the term, actually? Babylonian money magic?
Not really, Seth.
Yeah. Anyway, it gets into, and this is a whole different, like, deep discussion, but it really just gets into the fact that, like, the global financial system is based upon, like, ancient Babylonian magic. And it's very, very deep. And there's actually a book called Babylon Banksters. That, you know, the guy wrote, that my wife actually just finishing up reading, and she's been giving a lot of updates on it. That goes into the deep occult things and everything behind the financial system. basically. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we do, I do a deep dive into all this stuff in those episodes.
Yeah. And there's this whole thing where the, like, back then, if you want to like really go into like deep conspiracy real quick, the Rothschilds, but they had a different name. They like changed their name throughout history or something like that.
And Bauer.
Bauer, that was it. I couldn't remember the name of it. Yeah. And that's pretty crazy stuff, actually, when you really look into it. At first you're like, what? But then you kind of look into it and you're like, dude, this is kind of weird. And then of course, like the you know, you have the Knights of the Templar that really started the banking system, which kind of grew into what is the Rothschilds.
That's how the Vatican got really rich, and it's the pirates, and Jim Mars has done some great stuff on all that.
Nice. So, great.
Anyways, so let's go ahead and dive into some of the main topics. I mean, really what we're seeing is the vaccine, which now that we're on Rumble, only Rumble and Arise, so of course we can say whatever we want to, but you know, when the vaccine started rolling out, there were a lot of doctors that were coming out and saying, look, this is going to cause a lot of death. And I think a lot of people were thinking, okay, is it going to, like, is it going to have this effect? But also, like, once it starts happening, how are they going to hide it? Like, that was always one of the big questions for me, is that, like, you know, if an extra 5 million people die in America, you can't sweep that under the rug. And you know, it's almost comical, and it's kind of sad to say it like that, but you know, it's like, how many times can people be told that it's sudden adult death syndrome, right? And we've covered this a lot on Rise TV. It's like, mm-hmm. Taking hot showers leads to heart attacks, taking cold showers leads to heart attacks, walking in the park leads to heart attacks. So there's been all these deaths that have been happening, which we've talked a lot about. And you have to, you know, think about this, it's going to hit critical mass. It's going to hit a point where they can no longer deny the fact that there's something else happening. Like when COVID was really running haywire, according to their numbers, and CNN had their COVID ticker up on the top of the screen and everything, it was easy for them to say, oh yeah, COVID deaths are increasing. But now that that's not the case, yet we're still seeing all these reports, all this information about these deaths coming out, you know, like what's going to happen. And so, the interview I did this morning with Tom Renz was specifically about this topic. So Tom, you know, back in June, and Lindsay, if you want to pull this up for folks, he published a Substack article where he was really, really concerned that the deep state had been planning all along, that basically that they baited Trump into becoming the father of this vaccine. Right. Which, you know, he even referred to himself as that. And that the plan all along is that they knew that it was actually going to get to a point where they couldn't hide the deaths anymore. And what Tom Renz is saying is that their plan was at that point to then pivot and say, well, look, Trump rushed this thing through Operation Warp Speed. He rushed it through FDA approval. And, you know, Trump actually, you know, I was listening to a Fox News interview where he's, you know, bragging about that, saying, look, we got this thing done in record time. Like, we pushed the FDA harder than they've ever been pushed before to get this thing through. Now, Lindsay, if you want to pull up the Politico article, you know, so basically what we're seeing, though, is that there is a House, I think it was a House Democrat or a House Democrat committee or some sort of commission or committee that released a report that is really starting the process of blaming Trump for rushing the vaccine to market. And it's kind of frightening because, so here we go. So yeah, so Trump, White House's Politico, exerted pressure on FDA for COVID-19 emergency use authorizations. So what they say is that the report by the House Democrats examining the pandemic says that Trump officials sought vaccine approvals to sway voters before the 2020 election. So you can see that they're really setting up this narrative. And Alex Jones released a video within the past week, and it's gone like crazy viral. I've seen it everywhere. I think it's got over 1 million views on band.video. I put it up on my Telegram because I thought it made a really good point where Alex Jones is coming out and saying, look, you know, President Trump, we love you. You're an amazing man. You've done so much for our nation, but they're getting ready to pin this on you. So he's like saying, please. And this is the exact same message that Thomas Renz had during my interview with him today. And like, he was like saying, look, I hope this, like the interview that we're doing, he's like, I want Trump to see this. And so he's like, once I finish, I'm uploading the internet, putting it out there tonight after the show, Like, he's going to put it on Truth Social. He's going to tell everyone to tag President Trump with this video. Because in this video, he's saying the same thing Alex Jones was saying. He's like, look, you have a window right now to get in front of this. You have a window right now to come out and say, you know what? I was lied to. I was lied to by my closest advisors. I was lied to by Fauci. I was lied to. Everyone told me that this was going to be a safe and effective treatment. But the thing is that if it becomes mainstream information that now there's a lot of these excess deaths, you know, there's stillborn births, there are all the injuries. And if all of a sudden CNN's talking about that, and they're saying, look, actually our experts are saying that this is all because Trump rushed the FDA approval process. This could spell the end of Trump's political career. You know, and the thing is, like, one final point, like, mm-hmm. I don't want that. Like, I love President Trump. And I'm like, you know, I got so much flack on my Telegram because everyone's saying, like, you know, you're black-pilled and, you know, Trump's playing 5D chess. And it's like, look, regardless of the reasons of why he did that, the reality is that you can now see that they're setting it up. And Thomas Rentz, who's an attorney, he said, look, like, they can legally go after him for this. Like, they can legally go
can
after him.
Can I just ask a deeper question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What is 5D chess? Who came up with the term 5D chess?
It's like playing dreams and or playing chess in the astral world, right? Like,
I know. Like, it's just
yeah, I know.
All right. Anyway,
I don't even know. I'm just making something up.
It's like every day there's a new cool term or something. Yeah. You know, these crazy kids. Anyway, I think a couple of different considerations here that I'm just going to throw out there for you guys. You know, I've been studying the deep state for like the last 4 years straight, and you know,
they've been studying you, Rob.
Probably. I'm pretty aware of that, actually. But I've been studying how they operate. And I just want to point something out, that what I've noticed is if you look at history, if you look at figures that have come in and disrupted the deep state's plans throughout history, they've always handled it with brilliant opportunist decision making. It's not always something that they planned. It's more so like war room strategy, now this, then this, right? So this is how they've done things. And this is how Mao Zedong did things. Actually, there's a really like close comparison to like the cunningness and deceit of how he manipulated things and how the deep state actually goes about doing that. And a good example of this is like Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon came in, was a complete wild card, took over Europe, literally, just as a general military force. They didn't know what to do, so they just started taking advantage of the industries around him until he was out of the picture, and then were able to infiltrate in and kind of change things and terraform things back to their original plan, right? There isn't a lot of difference between, you know, Trump kind of coming in and doing something the way that he was and Napoleon Bonaparte here in this case. What I think is going on is that they're really good at distractions. They're very good at being opportunists and finding the opportunity in any situation. And I think that is what Trump is facing. We opened up this episode talking about the art of war, Sun Tzu. Like, these guys are formidable when it comes to that. I think that Trump also is formidable. I think that a lot of these things, you know, what is going to happen is we're going to have an all-out 50-50 split again, where the mainstream media is going to be trying to blame Trump. I do not think that that's going to affect many of the people that have already made up their decision that Fauci is the one to blame here, because it will get brought up just as hard as we're going through this. At the same time that I'm saying that, I totally agree with Alex Jones that Trump actually needs to come out and verbally actually explain this. For the people that already hate Trump, it's not going to make a difference. For the people that are kind of like in the middle or libertarian somewhere, it will, I think, make the difference. And I do think he will address it. I think he's going to go, like, I think if he doesn't go straight for the jugular now, there's no time he's going to do that. He should have went straight for the jugular at the very end there, the last few days that he was in office. He didn't do it. He has a new opportunity here. What does he have to lose? The only thing he has to lose, actually, literally nothing, because they may put him in prison for something.
Well,
yeah,
sorry,
go ahead,
Rob.
Ben.
Were you finished?
No, I'm finished. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So there's a few things here that's going on. One, if you remember, Trump was actually pushing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which doesn't have the mRNA.
Well, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, no. Well, yeah. I mean, that's
he was kind of pushing all the vaccines.
Well, like, once they came out,
maybe at certain points he was pushing it, but you know, later on he talked about all the vaccines.
Well, yeah. But I mean, once they came out, but like originally the one that was like the Operation Warp Speed was really the Johnson & Johnson one that, from my understanding, that's the one that he was working with more closely. And Fauci came out in the beginning and was like, oh no, we can't do this. This is too soon. We're never going
to
be able
years.
Yeah. We're never. Yeah. Because we have to have a clinical studies, blah, 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 blah. And Trump's like, no. We want this out. We need this out, blah, 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 blah. You know, by the, like, it is true. He was trying to get it out before the election. Then all of a sudden Fauci completely did a 180 and was like behind it 100%. And then they were like, kind of, you know, trying to make it faster. Trump was like, oh, we'll have it in November. And then Fauci's like, no, we're going to have it in October. Because Rob and I were like following this to a T when all this was going on. Because we were like doing Edge of Wonder. We're like, what the heck? You know, no one could figure out what the heck was going on. Because Fauci was like, no, masks don't work. Oh, yes, masks work. Everyone, you know, he was like backtracking literally on every single topic that came out. And it was like whatever fit the narrative or push their agenda forward, he would just change his opinion on it. And it's like, yeah. And then him and Trump, you remember during all the press conferences, and Trump was in the White House talking, and they were always like going back and forth and it's like, who the heck is Fauci? Like, no, he's not even a doctor, for one thing. He's never been in like actually treating patients, from my understanding, you know. Same thing with the guy from WHO. I mean, they're like clinical doctor scientists guys, you know. So anyway, it's like but then Biden came out, and then they were giving Biden all the credit once Biden got elected. It's like, look, you know, now we're going to push the other vaccines. And that's when Pfizer and all these things came out, and they were really pushing it. And then everyone needs to get these vaccines. And then they were like, you know, everyone was saying, this is what makes no sense. It's just the people out there. They're just listening to the media. It's like everyone was like, oh, Trump is slow. Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now everyone's like going to blame Trump when they were like blaming him for being slow in the beginning. And it's just, and then they were, it's just doesn't make any sense. Now, New York Post does have an article and they interview this guy named Nate Silver, who's the editor in chief of 538. I'm not even 100% sure what that is. But he said
Nate Silver, I'll say quickly, he was a very big New York Times guy. And he was a guy that his specialty was the elections and predicting election outcomes. That's so I remember back, this is way back when I was working at the Epoch Times still, he was the guy that we were all following because he had a way of pulling together all of the polls and everything. And he was the most accurate guy in predicting. And so at that time he was with the New York Times. He was kind of like one of their key all-stars. Then he went off on his own. But he was always, I mean, he was a New York Times person by the book. I mean, he was not a fan of Trump, you know. So,
well, this is really fascinating because he is now saying the opposite of this whole narrative. He says that Pfizer delayed the rollout of its COVID vaccine, which may have been politically motivated to hurt then President Trump. So it's really fascinating because he's saying the exact opposite of what like Washington Post is saying. So, you know, that's, and honestly, that's more in line with what happened. And that could, okay. So if we take like a bigger picture, take a step back with this, you know, Trump did come out in support of the vaccines and he was kind of denying the deaths of the vaccines, right? He was like, oh, I haven't really seen anything. And man, he got criticized really bad for that. Even, what's her name?
Candace Owens.
Yes, Candace Owens really was criticizing him. You know, we were shocked when we were doing our show. I think all of us were there when he said that and we were talking about it. So in hindsight now, maybe that was kind of smart, actually, of him saying that. I don't know, or maybe
what
not.
What did he say exactly, Ben?
He was being interviewed by somebody, and I don't remember if it was Candace Owens or somebody else.
He was being interviewed by Candace, and she was asking him, you know, basically, what do you think about this? And she started getting into some of the statistics about the negative, the death, injury, et cetera. And he really shut her down. And he was like, look, they work. And he, you know, he even said that the, that they've saved lives and that you're less likely to get COVID if you have the vaccine and that they're fine. He even said that the people that are going to the hospital are the ones that aren't vaccinated. So he really, and that interview for me, that interview was a little bit of a turning point. And like I never stopped supporting Trump, but you know, there's right. a lot of people that said, look, it's optics. And you know, if Trump comes out and he says the vaccine's really bad and it's going to kill you, don't take it, we know he'll be eviscerated by the mainstream media. But it's almost like he went too far to the other side. And there's, you know, and actually I put a post up my Telegram where someone compiled a list of all the times, many times he was talking about it. And it was a very pro-vaccine stance. He was saying teachers should get it. You know, he was saying a lot of people like they should get the vaccine. So, and again, I don't want to get into the discussion right now of necessarily like the specifics of, you know, Trump's guilt or not or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that the bigger picture with this is that, you know, and Rob, I have a little bit of a different perspective than you in terms of how the mainstream would react to this and even his base, because, you know, I would say that, you know, for the three of us, we're, you know, like in terms of our belief system about how the world works, I'd probably say that we're actually quite far on the right, right? In many ways. And I think we're very, you know, not in all ways, but, you know, we believe in the deep state. You know, we know that the election was stolen. You know, we know that the vaccine is...
We don't support the deep state. We just believe the deep state exists.
Well, Ben, you've got like deep state statues in your closet you burn incense to. Just joking.
No, I just want to clear that up.
So the thing is that like all the three of us, we're not like mainstream conservatives by any stretch of the imagination, but a lot of my family are. And for a lot of them, they just watch Fox News. Yeah. They don't, you know, and maybe they watch Dan Bongino or Ben Shapiro. They're not watching Alex Jones for sure, right? They're not even watching a lot of the content that we're covering. They're really just looking at, you know, what Tucker's saying. That they're busy. They go home, they turn on Sean Hannity, they turn on Tucker. That's it. That's actually the larger portion of the conservative base. You know, I think it's easy for us to think like, oh, or people that are in more of the like the true MAGA movement, like to feel like that's the driving base, but actually a lot more, they're just like your mainstream. They're not the ones showing up the Trump rallies. They're not the ones that are going to DC. They're just the people that are working.
Seth, do you think that Tucker is going to forget that Fauci was the one that was like manipulating all of that stuff?
Well, so, but here's the thing though, is that I agree with that perspective, but, and maybe Tucker is going to say something, but like what we've seen with Fox News is, on the fundamental issues, they choose the side of the deep state. They're owned by the deep state.
Well,
right?
Some of them do, like Hannity others.
No, but the organization, even Tucker. Agreed. Tucker's not saying that the 2020 was stolen. You know what I mean? Tucker actually even told me before the Christine, I think Engelbrecht, I forget how to pronounce her name, which I apologize if she's watching, of True to Vote. Like she was told not to bring up election fraud when she came on the Tucker. And so the reason I'm putting this out here is that we saw that Fox News is the reason that Joe Biden got away with stealing the election. They called Arizona and they refused to, they called Biden as president along with all the other media, and they refused to look at election fraud. So what we see is that pattern of like, when it came down to the most critical moment for them to do something to stand up for what was right, they didn't do it. And in a large part, our country is where it is today because of the actions of Fox News. They were the one mainstream news organization that could have covered the election fraud.
But what's your point though? Like,
here's what I'm getting with this. So I'm getting at this is that you had said that this won't really affect his base very much, but I beg to differ, because if Fox News, if they get that directive from Murdoch, you know what I mean? If they get that directive from very top, you know what? It's now time to turn on Trump with this vaccine stuff. You're going to see a large part of the conservative base actually turn against him. And that's my concern. Like concern.
It's my concern too. Don't get me wrong. Like it absolutely is my concern. What I think is what I'm trying to bring into this is that it's not only going to be like, even with all of that said, I do think that most of these mainstream Americans that still watch Fox and all of that feel like there was something fishy with that election. They know in the back of their heads, so many of them believe that the election was stolen. So I think that with Trump actually speaking up, with some of the, like, all of the patriots full on, you know, going into battle against these narratives, I believe that it will have less of an effect than a complete just like everyone turns on Trump kind of thing.
Oh,
I think it's very damaging.
Rob. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one concern I do have, though, is whether he actually comes out, like whether he speaks up.
He will.
I don't know. So I was listening. Are you guys familiar with Pete Santilli? So yeah. Pete Santilli is a radio show host. He's got a very big network of people. And so he was on an interview a couple of days ago with Mike Adams. And what something that, you know, because they got in this exact discussion, right? Because and what he told Mike Adams, he goes, look, he said, I can't give you the exact names. He said, but I know multiple people that are like in regular contact with President Trump. And he said that, and this is what Pete Santilli said. He said, as soon as these people bring up the vaccine on the phone with Trump, he hangs up on them. Like that Trump refuses to actually hear the negativity about the vaccine, and that he hangs up on them. If they're trying to say, look, Trump, like this is getting really bad, he closes it off. So anyway, look, I hope the man comes out and actually says, you know what? Like, I was wrong and I was lied to. And here's the proof that I have. I hope that like he's the 5D chess player in that way, and that he can come out and really exonerate himself before they really drill this down, because I see it coming and it really concerns me because we need him back in the White House more than anything.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you know, but it's just really weird because everybody was, I mean, the unvaccinated were literally the most persecuted group, you know, in America, at least, you know, what's going on here. I mean, we, and this is when Biden was president. You couldn't work anymore. If you're working in almost any situation, like if you're not vaccinated, then you're fired. You know, I mean, Biden literally said anybody who's not vaccinated will die. You know, he's like, by what did he say? Like by the winter, it was a dark winter and there's going to be a lot of deaths for the unvaccinated or something like that to that point. And it's just like, they've been going at it. So blaming Trump doesn't really seem very, it's like anybody that has an ability to ask questions would be like, wait a minute, you know, this isn't all on Trump, you know, and Biden's not liked anyway by either side.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, there you go.
The problem is there's a lot of Americans that don't ask questions.
I know. And they're so blind. It's like
there's a lot. I mean, yes, on both sides. You know? It's like it's so many.
Crazy. I mean, the majority of Americans are vaccinated. You know,
yeah, it's like true.
Majority of American adults are vaccinated.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of really unclear libertarians about stuff. Like they want less government, oversight in their lives, but they just have bizarre understandings of what's really going on. Like not everybody does their research. Everybody is at a different place with that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And, you know, and then, I mean, and the people, if this really starts coming out and, you know, and like in the early days, you know, it's like, everyone's like, are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated? Like my response was, I'm waiting for 2 years to see what happens since there has been zero clinical studies. Like, I don't want to put anything in my body until, you know, I see results. That's just the way it is. You know, I mean, like
I see everybody having heart attacks.
Yeah.
You are an anomaly in America to think like that. I mean, look, I know there's a lot of really smart people in America that actually ask those same questions, but a lot of people didn't though.
No, they didn't. Know? It's like, oh, the government says to do it, then I do it. You know, I mean, like even people I know, even my own family members, they were just like, oh, we got to do this, you know? And it's like the people who got it are not Trump supporters necessarily.
I think
the only reason I got the vaccine, I got six of them because I was trying to win the lottery in Ohio. Right. And that was the only reason I did it.
I got them because I wanted a free burger.
Burger?
in Manhattan. They were giving out donuts and burgers.
Oh my God. Like Bill de Blasio was like the leader of get, oh my God. And then like, you can't walk into a restaurant in New York unless you had your vaccine card.
Here's
ridiculous.
This
has nothing to do with Trump. This is like, I'm so frustrated.
I know people want to have this idea that Trump is playing 5D chess, right? But the thing is that Trump made, Lindsay, can you take that down for a sec? Thanks. I think Trump made a fatal mistake trusting the medical community. Like, COVID happened out of nowhere. It caught everyone by surprise. And then Trump was like, I'll do the right thing. I'll put the faith in our medical officers in the United States to do the right thing and get this out for the betterment of the people. He actually trusted that that would go well, and it's blowing up in his face. And his not it's responding Fauci, now. It's exactly.
It's Fauci. All
like,
Fauci.
This is why this is what leaving. I'm saying is like,
Fauci.
There
like,
is no way so that he. There's no way that he really understood how deep the swamp went. I think he understood a large portion of it, but I think all of us actually, and not just him, even us who are researching this, we're just like, whoa, it's so bad. It's so deep. It's so rooted into everything like that they've been creating over the last, like, and we wouldn't have seen it if this stuff didn't happen. If these things didn't happen, we wouldn't know how bad it really was. That's true. And I don't think Trump would have known either. I think you can get briefed as much as you want, but you don't know who the people, if the people that are briefing you are actually on your side to let you know these things or not. Like, you know, think about it. So fatal mistake trusting them. And we're going to have to see how the chess match is played at this point. It is a chess match. I don't know about a 5D chess match, but you know, it's a chess match.
Yeah, well, it is crazy. But what's interesting is that you do have more people coming out and speaking openly, whether it is the famous tennis player, even Dan Mongino has come out and said it was the worst decision that he's made in his life. And, it is becoming more mainstream. And look, let's just keep an eye on it. Let's keep an eye on what's happening. But, you know, it does.
I think also, like, going back on Tucker, you know, like, I really don't trust anyone, first off, but I actually think Tucker has his head screwed. Of all of the guys that are out there right now, I think Tucker has his head screwed on pretty tight. I think the reason why he and others at Fox News, like Joe Rogan, for instance, I actually think Joe Rogan ultimately has his head screwed on tightly as well, but he will avoid certain conversations and he chooses his battles of when to go after someone very, very carefully because his entire show is he still wants the platform to be able to talk to people and move things in the right direction. I've heard private conversations that he's had with people, and this guy like knows what he's up against. He knows what's going on. I really think so. With Tucker, it could be the same scenario where he knows what's going on. And so he's looking at this as war too. And hey, do I choose this battle or this one? Let's just not talk about this. And let's instead try to inform people over and over again. Because if he went after that, he'd probably just get taken off of the air. And then what? We lose Tucker, maybe the only guy that's actually talking truthfully about this stuff and trying to educate people. You know, like that's also not good. So what is it? Like, which do you choose? Like, these are very difficult questions to answer, you know? Mm-hmm.
So you guys, I just found something. Lindsay, can you pull this up? I put your name in the doc that we have. This article is from 2001 and the headline is Biden says he started the vaccination program despite Trump rollout.
Wait, this is from 2001?
I'm sorry, 2021. Sorry. Oh, sorry. 2021. And this is Biden speaking about how he really initiated, which he didn't, the vaccination program. I mean, dude, Rob and I were talking about this like on our show when all this was going on. And we were just like, you know, and this is why I remember all these things. Cause it's like, dude, Biden was trying to get all of the credit for rolling out the vaccines and then pushing it on everybody. And okay, let me backtrack here because we're really speaking really heavily about the vaccine. And I'm not trying to talk about whether you got it or not, or whether it's wrong or ethical. This has nothing to do with, or even criticizing anybody who got it. This right now is just more addressing the larger picture where it's like the Democrats were all promoting it like crazy. Then you have Biden repeatedly saying that he's the one who really got it going once he became president. And now all of a sudden they're backtracking and trying to blame Trump. And it's like, wait a minute, for the last year and a half, all you guys have been saying is how proud you are for achieving the vaccine and then pushing it on everybody and forcing people to get it. And Trump would have never forced anyone to get it. That, and that's the difference between Biden
that's
and
a
Trump.
Good, great point, Ben.
Yeah, because
you know, like, look at the difference between those that were forcing people to get it and Trump, who was just like, it's everyone's freedom to do it.
The that's unfortunate exactly thing is that said. Is that real? I mean, at this point with our current legal system and judicial system and everything, you know, real justice isn't justice. I mean, justice is never really served, you know? So it's like, you know, even looking at the, you know, I'm not sure if you guys ever saw the documentary, I think it was called Kill Switch.
It was a documentary
that I think it was HBO that put it out that exposed how the entire Dominion voting systems were so vulnerable. They made an entire documentary about how like vulnerable our voting system is. And it was because they were gearing up to use it. I think that actually they were gearing up so they could use that against Trump, like if Trump won, right? And so but as soon as they steal the election, right? Because they didn't expect it. So as soon as they steal the election, it's like that disappears, and they're now all oh yeah, there you go, kill chain. Thank you, Lindsay. As soon as it disappears, they're now like, oh well, actually, you know, our elections are so fair. So it's the crazy thing is that, you know, Biden could literally be on camera saying, like, I invented the vaccine myself and I take full credit for whatever the vaccine does to people, and they'll still blame it on Trump.
They could have an incriminating video of Hunter Biden smoking crack and saying that he created all of the vaccines while he was abusing children with his father, and it would still be Trump's fault. This is actually the point.
Actually, I think they already have all that.
They do. The media is going to say and do everything they can to pin whatever they can on Trump. This is, and all it's going to do is wake more and more people up, and more and more people are not going to listen to the media over time until it gets to a point where it's like they're having no effect at all. It's already started. It's getting worse and worse. And people are listening less and less to them. I mean, I just see that trend. It's like they've lost power already over this. So many people are waking up, and now it's resulting in them using more and more force with what they're doing, and they're starting to get super sloppy, and then it's waking more people up. I mean, the CCP does this all the time. Like because it's all just about control, they make so many mistakes. It's so easy to pick apart anything they do.
Yeah. And, you know, go ahead, Seth. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just saying that he's disagreeing with Rob. Yeah.
Yeah. And so before we get in dig deep, a couple points too. I don't know if you guys know this, but just this week, the CDC removed some paragraphs on their official website.
Oh yes.
What they actually removed was talking about how originally they were like mRNA in the vaccine doesn't stay in the body very long, and they removed that. Now it doesn't really say anything about it. So meaning that it could actually linger in the body a lot longer than what they originally thought. So that's one of the things that got removed. And on a more of a comical note, did you guys see the Fauci screenshot that was going around with him in his own office and what was in his background?
Was it a bust of, you know, some old communist like Lenin or something like that?
Well, close enough. It was
Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, Lindsay, can you pull that? Can you pull the Fauci candle up, this image on Twitter? This is really funny, actually. I mean, I couldn't even I couldn't stop laughing over this by how Fauci is. Cause I don't want to say anything yet. I want to pull it up and I want to show you guys. So Lindsay and our doc,
can we play the Jeopardy song while we're waiting?
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Now we can.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's up?
I'm having some internet connection issues.
Oh, you are. Okay. Actually, I can pull it up then for you. Sorry, guys. That's
so this is, what is it? Is it a candle that he has?
Yeah. Well, watch this. Sorry. Let me put it on my screen since Lindsay's having some issues here. So is this Lindsay's screen or my screen? That's Lindsay's screen. So the candle is of him as Jesus Christ. He's literally him like this on the candle. But it's supposed to be Jesus.
Are we sure that's not some kind of Pope?
No. These were for sale. Like this, we had this on one of our weirder news. I just remembered this.
You know what's crazy about that is that, and this is kind of wild, but I'm pretty sure that the person who made that candle is this girl I used to date in like elementary school.
What? Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. Yeah, she like became like a pseudo kind of famous. Like we were like best friends throughout. Like I think I dated her in like third grade.
Best friends.
Well, we were best friends. I think that we kind of maybe, you know, dated on and off like in like the young kind of kid way. You know what I mean? But we were best friends all through high school and everything. And she became really famous for making these candles. And I think that that's actually like, I think that might be the candle that she made, like that she designed.
Dude,
so she,
that is crazy.
Like she makes these candles for all these different celebrities, like these, like nativity, her company, if you'll pull it, I think it's called, like Mary Mo's Mary and Me or something like that.
Oh man.
So she, like, there's a bunch of copiers that are now kind of copying her.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she was the original person. Like, so if you search for Mo's, Mary, and Me, I think is what it is. But anyway, so she was the original person. So these candles, there's all these celebrities that will have, they'll take the picture of like this, you know, these candles and it'll be their face on it. Like it might be like some rapper or Beyonce. Yeah, this is her company. Like, I'm not kidding.
What the heck, man? Yeah. So weird.
Yeah.
Even when there's the Fauci underwear too, you know?
I don't know whether to like praise her for being smart or just think that the world is just dumpster fire of like patheticness.
I, the crazy part is that Fauci has this behind, you know, so he obviously
in office, you're in a federal department, people give you gag gifts all the time, right? Like it's he probably put it up on his shelf and then forgot it was there. And then the dummy had an interview while,
like, he's like, you know, doing rosaries and, you know, praying to himself.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. You know what I mean?
Well, like, okay. At least not publicly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So, you know, so gents, we have to exit Rumble now. We're going to play a trailer, but I wanted to let the folks know on Rumble to keep an eye out, because I've got a lot of great stuff that's coming out soon. And so for one is I have the interview with Thomas Renz, which is set to go live on Rumble at 9:40 PM tonight. And it's also going to be on Rise TV. I think that we're in the process right now. Dom is uploading it to Rise TV. So it'll be up there after our live show tonight. So that's one thing, but actually, it's kind of amazing. I set this intention. It's like, you know what? I want to really focus a lot more on interviews. Like I want to focus on getting really good guests and really good interviews coming in. And I've had all this amazing kind of thing, these things happening for people lining up to come on the show. So in the next couple of weeks, I'll be interviewing Greg Phillips. I think it'll be next Tuesday from 2000 Mules to talk about the pit and what's happening with that. On Thursday is Peter Navarro. So we're going to be talking about the corruption of the FBI, all that kind of stuff. And then shortly after that, I'm going to have Kash Patel coming on soon, which is really exciting. And then Mike Adams will also be coming on as well. And also Kathy O'Brien. So Kathy O'Brien was the famous whistleblower that was about the MK Ultra. She wrote the book, you know, she had a movie called Trance, which I think we're going to see if we can get her documentary on Rise TV. So just to let everyone know, like, and there's just a bunch of other people that are lined up. So we're going to have some really good interviews and Q&As coming up. And so for those of you that are on Rumble watching, you can definitely watch them on there, but this is some extra juice. If you're looking for the juice for why you got to come up to Rise TV, it's like you get to ask these people your questions and dig into all that with them on the exclusive portions of these interviews on Rise TV. So make sure that you're coming and joining us on Rise.
Absolutely. Great. Hey, are we going to go into the Q&A or dig deep actually. Yeah. We're going to do that right now. Right. You guys. So, hey, Lindsay, are you there? Are you going to be able to show a trailer?
I'm ready. We're going to do the War on Children trailer because I think you wanted to say something about that tonight.
Oh, well, not necessarily. I think, you know, we look, yesterday we actually, that Hunter Biden joke that I made earlier actually was a carryover from last night, because we were kind of tooling on him pretty hard last night. The thing is like, you know, abusive children is a real thing. Like, and it pervades our society right now. We're not just talking about human trafficking. We're talking about the critical race theory. We're talking about, you know, people we grew up trusting to give us entertainment for our children. And like, we've all turned out pretty crappy. And actually our children are in an even worse situation right now because of it. So we've done a War on Children series to try to expose some of this stuff exclusively on Rise TV. It took us a lot of time and effort to research all of it. Please come join us over there, and you can actually watch that. And gosh, it was very eye-opening to film those shows. So I hope you guys can check that out. There's a war on children, and its weapon is right in your own home.
In this critical series from Edge of Wonder, we expose the astonishing truth about how children are being programmed and groomed with hidden sexual content and subliminal messages.
Did you know that today's children's programming is full of sex and sexual themes?
From erotic animation in Disney classics to behavior manipulation in modern Pixar, from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network's questionable themes to media, movies, and more. This is a bigger pattern of hidden nudity, sexual innuendos in cartoons, and normalization of pedophilia that can't be ignored.
After this video, you'll see why it's a spiritual battle for our children's morality, and why we think parents should have all the facts to make the ultimate choices for their own kids.
This is War on Children.
All right.